guys all look like you want to do sword drill tonight.
No, I was just kidding. Not tonight. One of these nights, maybe. Hebrews chapter 2 tonight. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews, we talked about it last week a little bit. It is a book full of references back to the Old Testament, a lot of them in the book of Psalms. Tonight we'll start out the first half, just under the first half, 18 verses in the chapter. The first part speaks of some of those things, and then it gives some heavenly order. It gives some order in it, and some doctrinal things that are just great to ponder upon. If you ever think of, how powerful is evil? How strong is the other side? How, you know, and it just shows Christ's victory very clearly. We'll make a few points about that tonight. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll start there in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter number 2 tonight. Lord, we do thank you for your word. And the Bible says in Corinthians, Father, the comfort that it is, a comfort of the scriptures. Father, no matter what goes on, we wake up to the books there, you're there, your spirit's there, and we have our anchor, we have our moorings. And we pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we go with you in this journey of life. And pray that you bless tonight, Lord, you'd speak to hearts using your word. We do pray that you bless the Patch Club, Lord, and the teen time as they look at your word. Father, we just pray, Lord, those thoughts would seep into hearts tonight. And we'll surely thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Verse number 1, I love. If you can go to camp and preach to teenagers, I'd preach verse number 1 all day. It's a great verse. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And it just means get a good hold of it. Get a good hold of it. I mean, just get a good hold of it. You get around a group of people, oh, let's go play softball, or let's go play all right, and get around people that, I mean, if they're not, you know, haven't been playing much or whatever, you watch out. You know, somebody does this backswing thing, and the bat, and, whoa, you know, and it comes that bat, come around, and whacks them in. They don't have a hold of it, right? And they go and swinging for the fences, and they throw the bat over the fences, right? And they just, oh, man, we got to hang on to the things we've heard. Oh, but I don't know the whole Bible. Yeah, but you've heard some things, right? Hang on to them. Grab a hold of them. And the Bible says we ought to give the more earnest heed. Earnest heed is really working to listen, really working to pay attention, really trying to focus and hear God. The Bible says in verse number 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. So we have angels; they were messengers. We saw that in verse number 7 of chapter number 1. We saw it where they spoke to men in times past. The words that they spoke, there was consequences based on what they said. When they came to Abraham. And, you know, they walk out his door and they were headed for Sodom. I mean, there was consequences going to happen, right? They went to Lot's house and they told Lot, get your stuff and get out. And it wasn't like, oh, yeah, sure, anything you say. You know, it was like, what? Get your stuff and get out. Is all your family here? Are they all here? Right? And it said, get. And that, I mean, you figure out what you're going to do. It's time to go. There was the message to Joseph, right? The angel of the Lord came, spoke to Joseph, and said, look, Mary, she's the child of the Holy Ghost. You know, the rumor's probably going around. People are saying, Joseph, what's going on? You know, and it's in doubt in his heart. And like, what's going on? What's happening here? I mean, imagine, right? Consequences if you wouldn't have listened. Well, I had a bad dream. No, that messed up what was going on. No. But we listened. So the word that they spoke, it was very important. The Bible says every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Whether it was the prophets, whether it was Jesus speaking to the disciples and them giving us the Word of God, whether the men of God that wrote the Word of God out through God's inspiration. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We best not neglect it, the Bible says. Verse 4, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, divers miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. There were so many things that had to happen. And you say, well, it says signs and gifts. I thought I'm just supposed to trust God. Yeah, you are. But remember who the book is written to right here in Hebrews. A lot of Jews have to make up their mind. And the Bible says they needed a lot of signs, needed to see a few things. And I'm not for God, if you do this, then I'm going to do that. Or if you do this, and I'm going to say, God, whatever you'd have me to do, and just trust him. But the Bible says that there were many signs and wonders, different miracles. And the Bible says gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Pentecost was an amazing event. It was an amazing thing. Be interesting to you go through scripture and be like, all right, how many cults break off because of this thing here gets looked at wrong? All right, how many cults get started because this thing went wrong? The idea was if you had everybody, if you had people from all over the world in one place, you all wanted to hear in their own language, how would you do it? You know, you don't got time to teach them all, right? God gave them the ability to speak to those people in their language, even though they didn't know it. They didn't speak in a language that wasn't known. That's a confusing thing. See, people say, oh, they spoke in tongues. They did. And the Bible lists all the countries that they were from. And they heard in the language from the country that they were from. The miracle is they took a bunch of ignorant fishermen and did it, right? They weren't linguists. They weren't these guys that have been to the, you know, whatever, I'm a linguist. They're like, they weren't them. They were fishermen, right? They were ignorant and unlearned men. That's right on the mark. That's right on the mark. See, you got it there, okay? It's a miracle. It's huge, right? Unbelievable. I'm hearing a word in my own. Who is this guy? How does he know my language? How does he know my tongue? Amazing. The Bible said there are many people trust Christ. I mean, it's a miracle. Miracle. Many times. And some people missed it, right? Some people missed the miracles. But it's very important that we give an earnest heed to these things that we've heard. It wasn't like angels came and spoke to people every day in the Scripture, right? If you read through and you'd be like, oh, it seems like, no, there are long years. Even just reading through Genesis, man, listen to Genesis and reading through and there's, it's, you say, well, and the Lord spoke here and the Lord spoke, that's 30, 40 years between there. Where's chunks of time and it just, and, you know, we're like, we need action, we need, but hey, there's, what happened between this time and this time? Life, waking up every day, going out to the mailbox, getting the paper and whatever, you know, I mean, their life, went to work, whatever it was their life. The Bible says in verse 5, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Who said that? Yeah, the king, right? The psalmist of Israel, David said that in Psalm 8. It says, or the son of man that thou visitest him, thou madest him a little lower than the angels, that crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him. Well, that means everything. It means the people that obey God and the people that don't obey God. It means the people that love God and the people that hate God. Or hate the people of God. They're all under, all subject to it, right? Just because you don't, I mean, you know, the elections in our country, right? Not my president. That's not my president. Hey, well, you still live here, right? You know, all these threatenings, we're going to, you know, when Bill Clinton, it was elected. Oh, we're going to leave the country. Okay, but nobody did. And Obama's elected. Oh, I'm leaving the country. No, you won't. I said, just nothing's going to get done for a year. So just, no, you're not. You're not going to. Not my, right? The Lord, everybody's under. Everybody's under. All of them. They said, nobody left.
He left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, right?
The Lord isn't physically here yet ruling. One of these days he will be, and it will be seen by all that are here. Now, from here, we're going to, from 9 to 18, it's going to, may have to jump over to Ephesians 4. Maybe we'll see if I can do a good job with the time we have. Is looking at as Jesus Christ coming from where he was to do the job that he did and to go back to where he was and to see how that fits in here. Verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So the Jews would get, you know, in the Old Testament, they get a vision from an angel. There's a lot of stock put on these heavenly beings, right? And so in chapter 1, we talked about how Jesus is higher than the angels. He's the creator of them, and he's better than them, and he has all the kingdoms under him, including them. And you say, well, why is this a big deal? You got to remember, Satan isn't the fourth part of the Trinity. He's an angel. He's just like them. So he's on a level. We have God has created all things. We have the angels. Then we have us. We're made a little lower. Okay? And authority's huge in the spiritual world. It's a huge thing. It's big. It's like if you're here, that's where you are. I mean, sometimes I think it's like, man, what could an angel do right now? Like, what could they do? What are they capable of? But there's not a whole lot. I don't know. There's I read scripture and look, but it's like I can't. I know what I can do. I know what I'm capable of, and I'm capable of relying on God. And you see the things that that angels do, but you're like, well, what goes on in that middle bunch there, right? They can see up, and then they can see down too, right? They can go to the throne of God, but then they can come down here too. And Satan fits into that bunch. And you see why it's important here. The Bible says in verse number 9 that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. That helps out those that struggle with the whosoever. It says for every man, and it's every man's choice whether or not they choose Christ. Verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things, right? We see that in Romans chapter number 11, by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now, anytime Jesus is made perfect in the Bible, and hopefully we remember when we talk about that word perfect, it just means fulfilled or full. It's akin to a fruit ripening when something's ready. It's not, well, it wasn't perfect and now it is. It's just full. But you say, well, how did Jesus be made perfect? Well, before he died on the cross, he hadn't died on the cross. I mean, that's about how simple it is. And then once he had died on the cross, then that had taken place. So he'd say he went from here to here, and that whole process was made perfect. It was completed. It became full. So it's not that he became any better. There's no notion for that. That's as close as it gets in our language for that. But the Bible says, the captain of their salvation, perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth, they and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. It's us. That's us. You know, and it's interesting because if we pray to God the Father and we have Christ the Son that died for us, he's the heir and we're heirs with Christ. And the Bible says he's not ashamed to call us brethren. That's pretty awesome, right? We would love to call him brethren, but he's not ashamed to call us brethren. Say, well, that's pretty great. Verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. Will I sing praise unto thee? And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. And verse number 14 is to strip all power from the devil, all perceived power that Satan might have. Where you think that, wow, he's
he's got such a such a grip on heart, and he does, and it is powerful. And the flesh is strong if it's given power, and he can sway it. He can, but even remember those that are living for themselves, they make that choice. They make the choice. It's not that they can't. When the Bible says that Pharaoh hardened his, that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, he had a choice to humble himself, and he wouldn't do it. Pharaoh is the closest thing, I personally believe, to a Bible type of the devil in Scripture, is Pharaoh. Here's God's people. Here's God's man. Here's one that doesn't want to let him worship God. Doesn't want to let him worship God. Okay, you can worship God, but you can't do it all the way that God wants you to. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Always holding them. Always holding them. And in the end, what happens? Right? In the end of the book, right? All the kings of the earth come and they try to destroy who? Oh, God's people. And who comes in and saves the day? God does, right? And so that picture of the children of Israel just leaving Egypt, coming out, and then Satan, if you've ever heard Lester Roloff preach, he doesn't call Pharaoh. He calls him Pharaoh. That's how he always calls him. The old time preacher, he always said, Pharaoh, come and chase him to the Red Sea. And he's coming to destroy him. And here's God saves the day. Right? It's not Satan's power. He is powerful. But verse 14 says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. So we have Christ, and we have God, we have the Creator that sits on top of all, and we have the creation. Everything's under Him. So, but in a spiritual order, then we have the heavenly beings, we have the angels, Lucifer included, and even amongst them there's rank, right? We have Gabriel, we have Michael, we have Lucifer. Those are three of the named angels in Scripture, right? And then we have us. So Jesus decided, I'm going from the top to be down here. I'm not going to defeat him from where I'm at. I'm going to defeat him from the bottom. And it's an interesting thing, because what does Satan have power over? The Bible says he has power over death. Like he has it. And until Christ rose from the dead, it's like a lock. It's like you're dead, you're mine. You're dead. Now, people that died in Christ in the Old Testament, There is great scripture that teaches until the blood from the was applied to the mercy seat, the blood from the cross, that these people were in a place called Abraham's bosom. They were there, and that's where you read in Luke 16 where somebody's trying to get the rich man dies and he's trying to get help, and that's where these people are at. There's a gulf there, and he looked. He says Lazarus died, and he was there in Abraham's bosom, a place where those people were. So when the Bible tells us in Ephesians, says where Jesus Christ took captivity, captive, right? Those people are in captivity. They're there. He says, I'm taking them. And how did he do it? Did he do it from the top? No, he did it from below Satan and authority. He said, I've defeated you from the bottom. And he's defeated him from the top in the fact that he's a created being. He's defeated on both top and bottom. Verse 14, through death, that through death, so why did Jesus have to die? He died for us, and he died to prove one. He died to win. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He says, this is not going to stay dead. I mean, you talk about a 3-day time bomb. I mean, he's just saying, boy, I hope he stays in that tomb. Roman soldiers, get the whole army down there, you know. And let's bury that thing. Let's bury that door. But it's the Lord, right? And up he comes, and that's why we love resurrection. I mean, so we love it. Came down from the top, comes down. He said, I'm going to do it here at this level. You've taken mankind. You've caused them to stray from me, and that's this whole thing now. He knows. That human beings, we're the apple of God's eye. And he says, man, we're created in his image. And some guys will teach that the angels aren't, and that's one of the rubs there. It's just like, look, I'm replacing you with these people. And
they're the apple of my eye, and I love them. I care about them. They say, well, I'm going to do everything I can to make them miserable and to ruin their lives. I'm going to fill them full of self, and they're going to die separated and lost. And that's what I'm going to do. He said, okay. And so, but Jesus came down, and he showed us how we can live in this life, in the same life where Satan exists to ruin people's lives. And I said, we can have victory in Christ. From the bottom, verse 14, destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil, verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels. They think, well, why didn't he? And I, you know, and these are all like, you know, I promise you, I don't sit at home and think, oh, I wonder why. But if Lucifer's here and hears Christ, he says, I'm going to take on the nature of an angel. One, could we relate to that? What can't relate to it now? You know, I'm like, I just can't. I try. I mean, you got the scripture, but it's just, there's stuff in the Bible that just, it's there, but it's like, Lord, I wish there was more there. As you can say, like, hey, you don't want any more. That's all you want. You know, okay, good. All right. But you can't relate to it. I can relate to you. You can relate to me. Like, you see him, he got skin on, right? And so that they could relate to the Savior. Then the other thing is like, here is with the Savior, and I don't know if this is the reason why or what, but it's like, here he takes on the nature of an angel. He's equal with Lucifer. And I'm thinking, no, maybe not. Maybe not. You're already higher than him here. Why would you come down and be on the same plane as him? And then I say, well, he's going to come down and defeat him as a form of a man. Where you go into a game and you think, well, we're playing this team. They've never won. They're never going to win. And there's no chance for them to win. And all of a sudden, here they come. I'm like, what's happening? And that's the Savior. He's just saying, oh, you're going to take on flesh. And look what, the Bible says in Luke 4 and Matthew 4, then the tempter came. Right, the Bible says the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness and the tempter came. And where did he go after? Right away, he just went right after his flesh nature. He said, I'm going to get him. Just like Eve, he just said, I'm just going to go right after it. I'm going to go right after it. And then the Bible says he departed from him for a season and nothing worked, right? The Word of God worked. And that's our, that's for us. So we can relate to that and be like, wow, here is one that the fall of man is due because the serpent came in Genesis 3, and man, he's coming right up. But wow, look what the Word of God can do if we use it. Wow, I can keep from being deceived. So the Bible says he did not take on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. It's prophetic fulfillment's the reason why he had to be made after likeness of flesh like us, because the Bible says he said he would. Said he would be of the tribe of Judah. Said he would do those things. And so it's important that he did that, fulfilled the scriptures there. Verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. A little bit later on in Hebrews, we're going to get into a chunk and talk about Melchizedek. And it talk about the high priest. And it's an interesting study. It just is. This is stuff I've gone over a bunch when I taught in the Institute. It's just a very interesting thing. But the Bible says he's made a high priest for us. In verse 18, we're done tonight. The Bible says, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And that's not a fancy way of saying succor. That just means a help. Somebody that is a succorer is a helper. Somebody that comes to somebody's aid and helps them. And the Bible says that he in himself hath suffered being tempted. He is able to help, if we swap the word out there, help them that are tempted. And that's part of our job in Christ, being Christ-like. There's few things that you can do as to be Christ-like as helping somebody like Christ helps us. He said, "Man, I've been through that." Not casting judgment, not saying whose fault is this that you're in this position here. Is it your parents' fault or your kids' fault? Whose fault? You know, none of that. You just come alongside and help somebody. And that's what being Christ-like is like. And you're being a helper to them. That's it. He said, show them, this is what life is like. I learn more and more as the year goes along and as New Year's comes and all these churches around America have watched night service and praise God, the year is over. Praise God. I would not be surprised in the least if churches of America haven't grown more spiritually, not numerically, spiritually in this year than any year I've been alive. I don't know that for sure, but it would be amazing to see. What? Well, we've had to really buckle down. Trust God. Oh, good. Wonderful. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? I mean, it's just amazing. You read missionary letters, talk to church people, and then we have some that are just like, I don't know. Like, hey, are we looking up or are we looking out? We're looking out, we're reading stuff, we're not looking, we're not praying. I mean, God doesn't think that God knows about the Chinese. Yeah, he does. All of them, right? There are more and more of that. He knows about all that stuff. He knows. I was watching stuff last night. It's like, oh, my soul. Ah, right? Treasonous stuff gets to you because you're an American and you're red-blooded and you know the flag salute. All that stuff. That bothers you. Okay? Bothers you. Bothers me. I guess me. This is unbelievable. People can be bought. Yeah, it happens all the time. It's happened for years. Bible talks about in Proverbs receiving gifts, right? Don't want to be one of them people. I'm like, what about? I love gifts. I'm not talking about a bribe. It's talking about buying. It's like, it's wonderful, right? Want some position, not looking out for people under you. Christ couldn't be bought. So I had to be, get rid of them. Get them out of the way. Be help somebody. Be help somebody this week, right? Some of the callers said, man, I'm just praying for you, right? It made me think today. I talked to somebody. I was like, man, I need to reach out and say, hey, man, how you doing? Doing okay, right? Because I think that I'm doing okay. Everybody else must be doing okay, right? Not true. Not always true, right? Come in and be helped to them and check up on them, right? And do what 18 talks about, what Christ did for us. He, being tempted, is able also to help them that are tempted to help us. Bible says, tempted in all parts, like as we. I love that part. Tomorrow's coming, right? Tonight's not over yet. Tempted like as we are. Bible says, yeah, without sin. He's like, I've been there. You're going to be in there. I'll help you. All right, good. Thank you. Thank you that you are a helper. Father, we do pray that you bless tonight. Thank you so much for helping us. Help us to be a help to others, Lord. And I thank you so much that you came in flesh, Lord. Like the seed of Abraham, it says here, not in the fashion of an angel, Lord. And you showed us we can relate to you. We can see the things that you've done through your word and pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we rely on you to be a help to others as well, that we could show Christ, Father, in this year in our history as humans, Lord, a year that has just seen a lot of trials. And we pray that you would do that work. We pray that you bless our prayer time tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.